Hi, I'm Sash Mukherjee, and today I will be chatting with Kurup Prasad, APAC Lead for Data and Technology Transformation for IBM Consulting, mostly about how organizations can realize business value through their data investments. Kurup, it is an absolute pleasure to have you here.
Hey, thanks, Sash. Thanks for having me.
Kurup, with your experience in helping organizations get value out of their tech investments, over 10 countries and across multiple verticals, you're the perfect person to talk about what organizations see as the key driver for their data journeys.
So broadly, if I were to categorize most companies into five groups of industry. So there's the industrial sector, which is the industrial products, the automotive kind of discrete manufacturing industries. Then there is the whole distribution sector. There is the whole FMCG, CPG industries that come out there. There is the public sector that we deal with, governments and ministries, etc. There is comms, that the telecom companies come in. And then there is the banking and the insurance space out there. There is a very clear gradient that we see evolving in terms of the data initiatives across all of these initiatives. Naturally so, some of them are very, very data rich and therefore are amenable and have to necessarily do more with their data, whether it is the customer acquisition, whether it is regulatory requirements, whether it is about better managing of the risk portfolios and so on and so forth. And that's where I guess simplistically one could argue that the banking and the telecom space do tend to be a bit ahead of the curve in general, everything else being equal compared to the other industries. That's one trend that you will see in terms of what companies are embarking on from a data initiative standpoint. Within that, I would bucket maturity of companies into three specific categories out there, right? So what I call the initial, the aspirational companies or the builder companies in that sense, okay, who are very nascent in their journey, who I would say, for want of a better word, a bit limited in their understanding of how to leverage data, including starting from, do they actually have a better or a trusted way to even capture data? The second category is what I call companies who are good. They have the data sources. They're not trying to explore how do we make good use of the data? How do we sweat the data better? They will find that the data is typically siloed. It's very functional oriented. And therefore, their ability to have a common, what I call the Uberized version of data is very limited. And that is what they typically use as a reason to embark upon a data. Slightly more ahead, why do these companies embark upon data journey is this whole element of absence of data strategy. Who is the data steward? What is the data governance mechanism? How much can I trust the data that is coming to my desk out there for my decision making out there? And then what I call the third category is who are typically market leaders who are actually, in a sense, what I call showing the way to everybody, including consultants as to how much then they can stress the data and look at newer and newer insights along this journey out there. So whether it is reducing cost and improving the effectiveness of their marketing campaigns, whether it is managing the unknown risk or the security compliance element out there, whether it is about better customer acquisition and looking at integration of all kind of external data, including videos, images, etc. That is what I would call the torchbearers in the industry do out there. So to sum it up, the gradient where I have seen in my experience dealing with customers across the region, and obviously there is a country-specific nuance which I'm not going to get in right now, is broadly, I would say, three, some of more than one of these reasons, whether it's siloed data, data governance, data strategy, having a better insights out of it, including some of it around data monetization.
I like what you said just now about monetization, Kurup. And actually, there are two kinds of monetization, really. One is being able to find external market for your data-driven internal products. And of course, the other is bringing financial value internally to the organization. Irrespective of the industries, there are some common challenges that emerge in all data and AI programs. First is that they tend to be so long and intense, which is a technology challenge, but the bigger challenge is to keep the business stakeholders engaged through the entire project life cycle. How do organizations manage that?
I guess I'll tell you the reason, and this is actually, if I take a step back, right? Why does this happen? Let's take the first category. It's a failed program, okay? And therefore, the concern and the perceived longevity of the data program comes and hampers out here. I guess what I've seen work better in this case is to understand the reason for failure. It may be actually in many cases you will find that it is actually the company that or the people who have been a bigger contributor to the program failure, not so much about the technology, etc. So I guess that becomes a point to kind of have a genuine, honest debate, saying that look, time and complexity notwithstanding, until and unless we ensure that the learnings of a failed program are addressed, you will obviously find any program, irrespective of the duration, far more tiring and strenuous out there. So that's point number one. The second is the completion of a program that's an ERP program or a digital program, and then there is a kind of an expectation mismatch. I guess that comes about talking to the entire technology strategy and the technology roadmap, as I call it. I understand the stress and the impatience the board and the CEOs and the CXOs have in terms of driving outcomes out there, but somewhere also need to tell them, look, it is not like a plug and play and a switch that turns out and everything is available lo and behold. I've seen what works better in those cases is that having them talk to their industry peers, having them talk to their colleagues or their other players whom they look up to, and let them understand the journey that these companies went through. A consultant can obviously give them information and guide them through the process, but I guess that trust and the comfort comes in when they see that, look, I mean, this is a very common practice, or this is the best way that I could do that. That's the second learning I've seen. Now, let me come to the third category, which is what I call bread and butter, and the nature of these programs. They too tend to get complex if the expectation, I want to do a lot of things in one go. And the answer lies in the very problem, which is, okay, look, I mean, you want these things. Let's wait for 18 months and then you will get it. Do you want to do that? Or as one would actually drive. And by the way, a few years back, that was the only option available when companies would go in for large data programs. That was the stage of the technology, and that was the kind of methodology that most companies would have to follow out there. The good part is technologies themselves have now evolved to give the facility to break it down into smaller chunks. Then it's a question of how can business drive it and take use of that and break their objectives into smaller parts. I think that's point number one. Point number two, the frustration also comes in being in that unknown category, which means at the end of this whole program, whenever it happens, what do I get to see? So I guess demonstrating through a smaller proof of concept, showing them a pilot, showing them an end state, through smaller engagements out there, I've seen at least assuage some of the anxieties that the companies out there. That's the second element, I would say, from an intuition. And the third, nothing addresses all of these than a very strong project management and a program governance. I've seen more often than not, successful programs are the ones where I've seen client participation and agreement to take course corrections on short notices and periodic basis work better than where I've seen a steering committee date not being followed.
I listened to your response carefully. There are two key takeaways there. One is what we call the two-speed transformation, keeping stakeholders happy with small wins while focusing on the larger objectives. The other is overcoming the challenge of effectively measuring the value of these investments. How do organizations clearly articulate the outcomes expected and the benefits of their data journeys?
I think ROI distribution is, in my mind, is important, basically because it puts a sense of onus and responsibility on both parties. Okay, let me try and make a few examples that we encountered on. I mean, in the Indian scenario, there is this insurance company that we were working with, and one of the engagement was, can we do an image recognition? So in the unfortunate event of a crash, the consumer could actually take a few pictures, push it back onto the app, and lo and behold, the estimate of the damage and the nearest source of service center is available for the consumer to take a call on out there. Right? It drove a fair bit of customer experience in that sense, a few notches up as an example. But what it did in the background was also reduce the time to approve a kind of potential customer claim, which otherwise would take anywhere between 15 to 20 days to a few hours. The third benefit, what this company actually gained, was the assessors who were evaluating these claims out there ended up spending a lot of time on low-value claims. So it was not the best use of their time. And therefore, their own ability to do a more productive job was something that the company gained. Not to mention their own, you know, the cost of assessing a claim also dropped significantly. Shipping industry, obviously, they go through their cycles of high demands and low demands. But nevertheless, what is a big factor is the whole demurrage that companies pay because of the inability of the exact arrival date of the ship and therefore plan the subsequent activities. So the demurrage becomes a significant component. And we realized what the company actually would gain from was a better forecasting of the arrival of these ships on a, within a particular window, and therefore the downstream supply chain and the downstream logistics could be planned better out there. Okay, this was an engagement which entailed a lot of unstructured data to be analyzed, picking up multiple sources of information, and within with the forecast accuracy of a ship arrival moving up significantly by almost like 10 to 20%, their ability to minimize demurrage was a big factor out there. Right? I mean, there are a lot of companies who are doing connected car programs out there. Vehicle data is available. There is a lot of driver data available. How do you monetize that to have a better vehicle design or to kind of drive a better customer experience? Simplicity, the best framework is obviously the most simpler framework, which is what does a program contribute towards revenue enhancement? What does it enhance? Contribute towards cost reduction? And what does it contribute towards the customer experience or the employee experience part of it? So whether it is better churn management, whether it is to better cost reduction, whether it is to better inventory availability, etc., are the categories. But nevertheless, being able to drill down to a lowest denominator to measure the benefit out there. Whether it is productivity, whether it is time of the process, whether it is cost takeout, and whether it is finally the customer benefit that we get, are what I see more prevalent and better accepted practices than saying that, look, let it get implemented. We will discover the benefits as we go along.
The other challenge that organizations have today is that they do not know where the next data challenge is going to come from. For example, sustainability was probably just a buzzword for most organizations at the end of 2021, and now it's become data projects in many large organizations. How do organizations future-proof themselves, Guru, and pivot their data strategies accordingly?
And when I kind of reflect upon the whole trend, I mean, I know a decade back it was the whole oil crash and the financial meltdown that triggered a fair bit of data that necessary to be captured. Industry 2.0 to 4.0 has been a journey that gave us a fair bit of data that out there. There is this whole thing about digital transformation that actually COVID accelerated, necessitating the whole transformation. Obviously, data was associated with that. I talked about supply chain risk, and then there is the sustainability element that is becoming so prevalent. And as we, in fact, as IBM embarks upon these journeys with our clients, we realize that ultimately, like you rightly mentioned, is actually a data project. So there are two elements to any of these programs. There is obviously a functional domain expertise element that is required to succeed this program. But there's also this whole data program. So how do I see this journey, which will keep evolving? I mean, as time goes, in fact, you take about any device that we carry. I mean, a couple of decades back, the only device that we carry was a single phone. Bottom line is there will be new sources of data that will keep coming. There will be new types of data that will be coming, and there will be new outcomes that these data will need to keep driving. I think that's broadly, if I were to kind of make it into a simple sort of ask from an input and output standpoint, it boils down to. Therefore, when we engage with clients on strategies, I think the point is how flexible and how scalable is the data landscape that you are embarking upon. If it becomes very proprietary, hardened by the infrastructure limitations, hardened by the tech limitations, with every new mandatory or necessary initiative, either regulatory or non-regulatory, you will end up in spending that much more time and effort if the data architecture, the data landscape is far too rigid out there. So I guess from a data initiative, and as somebody who is a custodian of a lot of these initiatives, the first principle obviously is to ensure that whatever is put in place is scalable, can accommodate a lot of new additions, can accommodate a lot of new deletions, because you also need to manage the whole rationalization of some of these data availability and start taking a call. You don't need this data.
Gaurav, thank you so much for sharing your insights and experiences with us today.
Thanks, Shash. Thanks for having me, like I said. And yeah, looking forward to kind of continuing the discussion as we go along.
Read The Ecosystem Byte on the 7 steps to delivering business value with data and AI for more insight.